The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So we'll bring Mike Garofalo in from the NFL Network here on ESPN 97.5. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Man, we appreciate you being here. We saw your tweets and
Yeah, I know. I've known Mike for a little bit.
Yeah, you know Mike. So we saw your tweets. Mark Berman, who works here in the city of Houston, works for KRIV, says that the search committee did endorse Nick Caserio. What do you think the
However,
disconnect is?
He just says search committee. He doesn't name Corn Ferry, so we don't know.
Wait, run this back. Say this one more time.
Mark Berman.
He said what?
Mark Berman here at KRIV says that Nick Caserio was endorsed by the search committee.
I don't know what he's reporting. That may be a technicality, but he was not on their final list. So, see, here's what they do. They have a wide-ranging list of people that they recommend. I don't know the exact number, but there's a lot of people on the list. And then they narrow it down to their final candidate list. He was not on that final candidate list. He was on another list that they put forth. I don't know if it's initially or whatever, but they have... I'll get the exact number. It's a lot of people. So he was on that list, but he was not the last. The final list was around 10 people, and five of them were interviewed. The rest of them were not, and the rest of them were not. The rest of them did not include Nick Caserio. So
wow. So is that? Do you have?
It's a process. I mean, they start with a wide pool, and then they narrow it down, and then they present their final list. I am 1,000,000% sure that he was not on that final list that they presented. So it could be some kind of technicality here where he was part of the initial pool of people. But that I'm telling you, he was not on that final list.
No, we believe you. We think the technicality could be search committee. Well, that could also be, you know, hey, here's a list that was, you know, which this could be the whole Andre Johnson, Jimmy Johnson, it could be that whole team of Tony Dungy who are going to be kind of consultants or whatever. Do you know anyone else who was on the list who didn't get interviewed? Do you happen to know those names?
Will McClay was one of them with the Cowboys, but I don't know if that's because Will was never going to go anywhere. I mean, Will's a guy that has been up for a number of jobs around the league, and every indication is that he wasn't going to go anywhere because he's got a sweet gig with the Cowboys. He's practically the GM there anyway. Technically, Jerry Jones is the GM, but he's practically the GM down there. He's got a great relationship with the family and the organization, so he would not go anywhere. He was one, as I keep talking, I can kind of go through my notes and find them. Listen, there were multiple Seattle guys on there. That I remember.
Alonzo Highsmith was on it, maybe?
Alonzo Highsmith was on that list as well, yes. Alonzo Highsmith, now that you say that, was on their final list as well. So there were three Seattle guys that the search firm, Korn Ferry, was really pushing. And that's something that and I'm not – listen, I'm going to go all around this thing, and I'll at the end come back to the fact that, you know, Nick Caserio is a highly thought-of guy. You know, the issue here – for those who have an issue, whether it's Deshaun Watson or the players or whatnot, is not that Nick Caserio is a bad personnel guy or he's going to come in and he's going to bomb. Anybody who's got an issue with this is, okay, more of the same, number one, that's betrayed us in the past, and also this is a sign that Jack Easterby has still got a lot of sway within the organization, which upsets a lot of people, including a lot of players on that team. So... It's Yeah, you know, still looking for this through my list, and I can't find it. I will find okay. it.
No, big deal.
Hit me with another question.
No. Well, and that's what we were going to – I mean, we've been talking about this all morning, that it just stinks. So a year and a half ago, they tried to get Caserio, that the Patriots came back with the tampering charges. And then, you know, as soon as – 2 days after the Patriots season ends – one interview, and he's on his way back, and they hire him. It just stinks like this has been it's a giant ruse to all of us that they were actually looking for somebody else when they knew all along it was going to be Nick Caserio.
But that's I don't understand that because if that's the case, because you know they made the move early to get rid of O'Brien and secure Corn Ferry. I mean, every year Corn Ferry does one of these searches. So why were you in such a rush to secure their services if all along you were intending to go with Caserio? My hunch is that Cal said, well, let's do an honest-to-goodness search here. Let's see what's out there. And in the end came back, and whether it was, you know, Easterby making for something happened on Sunday where Easterby really made a push, from what I gather, to Cal McNair directly for Caserio. At whatever point, you know, Cal decided to make the move to Caserio, but I think at some point it was genuine to say, hey, let's go out there and let's do a full search, but in the end was swayed toward Caserio. Okay, here we go. Reggie McKenzie was another guy that was on the list. George Payton from the Vikings was on the list. Omar Khan interviewed. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. How many is that? Is that 10?
Alonzo Highsmith. Yeah. Will McClay. Yeah, yeah, I think you got to 10.
Nine or 10.
But that's, yeah.
I'll give you one more. Here you go. Brandon Shore, who is the Miami Dolphins vice president of football administration, I believe is their cap guy. He was on the final list as well. And this is per someone who had access to the list. So, there
okay.
You.
No, that's great info, Mike. We really appreciate that. That's interesting to see all the names. So, you know, the idea, and you know how this works, the idea, the other thing we've talked about is the idea that there's an agent who is really controlling so much of this, with Bob Lamont having not only Jack Easterby, who's been a bit of a pariah here in Houston. we know he is also the agent for, obviously, Nick Caserio, and he is the agent for, Brian Daboll. And I'm not saying I'm not saying Nick Caserio isn't a viable candidate because he was. I'm not saying Brian Daboll isn't a viable candidate because he is as a head coach. But you understand the optics look like one guy, you know, that Jack Easterby and an agent are kind of running the whole thing over there in Houston.
Yeah. Well, it's the reaction around the league is somebody sent me a text this morning from another team saying, boy, Jack the Preacher comes out smelling like a rose again, right? Like that's the perception of what's going on here. I will tell you this, and I tweeted this out last night. Cal McNair told the GM candidates through the interview process that whoever the GM is will get to determine Jack Easterby's role with the organization going forward. I have one regret. If anybody out there watched Good Morning Football Weekend on Saturday, I went strongly with the Jack Easterby is not even in the Zoom interviews right now. You may have overstated his role within the organization or his influence going forward. Ian Rappaport, my colleague, warned me. He said, don't do it. Don't underestimate Jack. He goes, I know what you're going on. It's factual. You're all right in what you're saying. You're correct. But don't take it too far and say, hey, he's been marginalized and could be going forward. I wish for one time in my life I would have listened to Rappaport's advice. I told him, hey, this time you were right. You know, most of the time you're not, but this time you were right.
Well, I think Jack wants that out there.
That he's not.
Yeah.
That he wasn't.
Well, yeah, I think Jack wants it out there. Like, hey, I'm not.
I'm just a guy.
Guys, I'm just here to.
It was. Here's where it was. It was more what was being communicated to the rest of the league, right? That all of these interviews and the whole process, you guys are going to come in. Jack's not going to be a part of it. You're going to get to determine Jack's future, right? So I don't think it was necessarily Jack himself. I think it was more whether it was genuine from Cal McNair or not. That was being communicated to everybody else involved in the process. Because, frankly, it became a lot more attractive to those who were brought in for an interview and those who wanted to get in for an interview once it became communicated to the league that, hey, Jack's not going to be a part of this. And by the way, you may get to decide his future going forward. So if that was a deft move by Cal or whoever in the organization to make it seem like a normal process and that they weren't going to lock in on Nick, then, you know, I guess that's good poker by them.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing. I believe, based on the conversations I had last night and this morning, and it's still early, that Jack Easterby is going to have a role in the organization. I believe it's going to be a non-football role, with Nick Caserio maintaining control over the football side of things. That is my early understanding and belief here. We'll see how it goes. I know those two are close, and they have a good understanding of each other. I've also been told, hey, Jack doesn't want control of personnel. Well, if that's the case, then why has he been – he's flagged transactions recently in the last couple of weeks from what I've been told. So, you know, maybe that's because they just don't have a GM right now, and that's the way he kind of felt like he had to do things and take a role. We'll see how it goes going forward, but my understanding is Nick Caserio wants control of the football stuff. He wants Jack involved, but just not in football.
By the way, Joe Schoen, Bob Lamont client.
Him too.
And he was on the Corn Ferry list also.
So. He was probably part of that other prospects.
No, that's not who you mentioned. You mentioned somebody from Miami.
Yes, Brandon Shore.
Yeah, that's who it was. Never mind.
Mike Garofalo. Fellow from NFL Network here with us on ESPN 97.5. So our perception of Jack Easterby, it seems like it's similar. You're national. We're here. We're really close to this thing, Mike. It seems like your perception of what Jack Easterby is similar to what ours is here.
No, I don't have a relationship with Jack myself, to be honest with you. So I'm not gonna. I'm just going off of I know what the players are thinking. I know what some other folks have said down there as far as those inside the organization. But, you know, I'm not what's the best way to say this? I just go off of what those in the know communicate to me. James Palmer, my colleague, has said things as well about the culture down there and, you know, Jack's role, or at least the perception of Jack's role from the locker room. We all saw the Sports Illustrated story. I know Cal came out with a statement in support of Jack in response to that story. So if nothing that I'm saying is me personally to Jack and any relationship there, it's just based off reporting.
We've had the long discussion about this as well. Patriots haven't drafted well over the last 8 years or so. I mean, when you look up and down, very few Pro Bowlers. It's been very shaky. How much of that do you know about the Patriots organization is on Nick, and how much of that is Bill Belichick has final say?
Well, and Lance, I mean, you know, you being a big time draft guy, I'd be curious with your overall grade of them the last, you know, whatever. But here's the problem with the Patriots in grading their drafts. You could have a second round pick going up against an undrafted free agent. If the undrafted free agent is showing up better in camp, Belichick doesn't care. He'll say goodbye to the second round pick, not immediately, but he'll say goodbye to a second round pick
pretty quick
and keep an undrafted free agent because he thinks the guy's more coachable and is doing what they want to do versus the overall talent that he has, which over 20 years has been a great way for him to run his 53-man roster. If those players were going elsewhere afterward and being successful, I'd say, oh, well, they're still drafting well. They're just not keeping those guys. So it's just I do find it tough to grade their drafts because of how they operate on their 53. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons when you have a head coach who's also basically in charge of personnel. You can do that because you don't fear the repercussions.
No, he doesn't fear anything. But isn't it inherently a problem if you have a free agent outplaying second round picks?
Well, I think it's one of the reasons that their roster right now needs a lot of work is because of the most recent drafts. When I say most recent, I mean dating back a little ways. I think Tom Brady covered up a lot of flaws, and we're starting to see Tom struggled offensively last year, went somewhere else, did fine. Cam Newton came in, really struggled. You know, you're bringing in guys like Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry who can't get open.
No.
And ultimately, you need guys who get open in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting to see if, go ahead,
Mike. Here's the other thing. If, I'm sorry. If just with regard to New England's draft that I need to add here. They don't always listen to their scouts there in New England. So if Nick Caserio comes in and he's got a different idea for how to run the draft and to really lean on his guys rather than the coach overruling in a lot of cases, then maybe things are going to be different draft-wise in Houston with Nick Caserio as the general manager than they are in Foxborough with Caserio as part of the process.
It's Mike Garofalo from NFL Network right here on ESPN 97.5. We appreciate the clarification. Mike, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you being here.
You got it. Thank you, guys.